Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Niners, right? Because I think we've said this a couple times today. In a lot of ways, Jared Goff and Jimmy Garoppolo are very similar guys. And that erratic nature of the Rams the last 2 years that Ray's talking about is more or less the erratic nature of Jared Goff without the Todd Gurley to lean on, as Ray is pointing out, right? The difference with the Niners is, at least when they've had success, it's because they've had a running game that's not based on a Todd Gurley. It's based on coaching dominance and a defense that's been able to cover up some of those mistakes when things do get tough. So what you had was the ability when Garoppolo had a good day to go out and beat a Saints team that's putting up points in the 40s, but also the ability for the defense and run game to win you games when Garoppolo had those erratic nights. And it does not seem like the Rams, as currently constituted, have either the defense or the run game to solve that problem.
3 weeks ago, we were talking about, oh, look out, the Rams might be back, too. They had such an impressive win. What? Not even 3 weeks ago, they beat the Buccaneers. Kind of stripped them alive, right? And it really is weird. It feels like we have a league where Kansas City, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Seattle Seahawks, I'm guessing here.
You know what, though? Do you even put those other two with the Chiefs, really?
No.
Don't
no,
we just I mean, have the Chiefs?
Yes.
We have a league with the Chiefs.
It feels that way. It feels like there is one of these things that doesn't belong here. And when they are frosty, when they are invested, so Tyreek Hill just had the wide receiver's equivalent of Klay Thompson's 36-point quarter.
Or no, I would say it was more the 60 and three quarters thing, right?
It was insane. It was insane how good they were to go up 17-0. And then they got a little bit bored, and that other guy's Tom Brady. And, you know, they have to convert a third down there to win that game, to close. So it's really weird. But
do you ever doubt that they will?
Not really. No. I mean, not really. They are as good as they want to be in the moment where they are choosing to be that good, it seems. Like, the will is theirs alone. You can do very little to slow them down. It's up to them to be disinterested.
Here's another question I have for you guys. This just popped into my head. Right now, and this is not measuring career success, but right now for a football game today, is the gap between Patrick Mahomes and the second quarterback you'd pick as big as that gap has ever been? Like, I think in my lifetime. I don't know that the top guy has ever been that far ahead of the pack in my life.
Right. Like, you still had Joe Montana, but then there was Dan Marino. So,
yeah. You had Brady and Manning and Rodgers all overlapping in ways that there was always kind of a competition. You know, Elway was in the mix back in the Steve Young days. Like, Mahomes is just so clearly the best. I don't see anyone making any argument otherwise. And I don't remember a time like that.
I think there have been years where one quarterback has had a defiantly better year than everybody else, and then he comes back to sort of the top of the pack with the others. But Mahomes has, you know, he is what you say. He's all three guys on the medal stand right now. And part of that is, you know, and all credit to the Chiefs for doing this, is they have built around him an offense that gives Mahomes a multiplicity of options on nearly every play. Like, nobody noticed yesterday when Tyreek Hill was going for 269 that Sammy Watkins came back and caught four balls. He has more options to throw to than two quarterbacks on any other team. And, man, that makes his escapability and choices when he's out of the pocket so much simpler. I mean, the only thing that he's lacking right now is the Kareem Hunt-level running back. And maybe Edwards-Helaire will be that, but he's not that yet. But everything else the Chiefs do offensively is simply better than everything that everybody else does offensively, because they have better players at more positions than anybody else. And Mahomes benefits from that, and he contributes to that because he is the best quarterback.
How much did Kareem Hunt screw up his career?
Man.
Not as much as you think, because he's been pretty good in Cleveland this year.
Well, he's been really good. And here's the thing. I even got a note here that says, if Chubb and Hunt go off over the next month, look out for the Browns. Now, I haven't done that segment yet. I'm not really prepared to do that segment. It was a train of thought that I had that I wrote down and I haven't deleted yet. But it is true. Like, the two of them. Here's the thing. You give talent to a coach who knows how to call plays, you can make something in this league. You really can. And I understand that this is what's working against Robert Saleh. It's the offensive genius can get guys who got talent and get production out of them. Look at what Kevin Stefanski has done. He's basically kind of saving Baker Mayfield's reputation, while Chubb and Hunt might be the best 1-2 punch any backfield in football has.
Oh, I think they clearly are. And if Derrick Henry, if we saw what he was capable of doing, dragging a team through the playoffs, I don't see any reason why Chubb and Hunt couldn't have a similar effect.
Speaking of dragging a team through, Derrick Henry dragged the Colts through downtown Indianapolis. How about this? No coincidence that DeForest Buckner did not play in that game, right?
Although Derrick Henry might still get you. I think he got them last. He is the last two guys to have 100-yard games against the Colts defense. I mean,
he's the last dragon. He's unbelievable.
Henry, in fact, is the best 1-2 punch in football, followed by Chubb and Hunt.
Yeah, that might be
his
right.
Left knee is the first punch. His right knee is the second punch. And he goes full Mack truck when he starts running off the rails. And what's amazing about Derrick Henry isn't just the size and the power. It's the speed.
Yep.
I mean, big men aren't supposed to get going that quickly downhill, but he does it. He does it. So let's take, we're going to stay on our clock here, fellas, without Michael Irvin. Obviously, we're not going to go long, but we will hope that Michael Irvin joins us coming up in just a bit here. Maybe his home game got moved to Arizona. I don't know. We will find out what Michael Irvin has for us in store for us a little bit later on, because he ain't here right now, so that's how that works. So stay tuned. We're working on Michael Irvin. If not, we're thrilled to talk with you. 888-957-9570 is the number. A huge win for the 49ers in a season that felt like it was going to be hard to find another W to drop in the bucket. They found one at SoFi Stadium over the Rams. We are brought to you by the Exergen twice daily thermometer. Fever is the leading sign of COVID-19, so use an accurate thermometer for twice daily temperature checks. Protect your family with Exergen temporal scanner, the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, physicians, and nurses alike. Stay safe with Exergen. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Playmaker must be out there running patterns or something, dropping tree routes. We have not been able to connect with Michael Irvin, and when we do, should we, we'll of course go right to him. But in the meantime, we got other things coming up for you here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. How about this, guys, before we get back to the NFL, with or without Michael Irvin, before we get back to the NFL, just a couple of other things to kind of get to today. It looks like Andrew Bogut has officially announced his retirement from the sport of basketball. Now, you could say, well, he hasn't been in the NBA long enough to where he basically already has, but that's not true. He was with the NBL. He was playing professional basketball in Australia, and he had designs on representing Australia in the Summer Olympics. Obviously, the Summer Olympics now postponed until 2021. And I guess that's just a little too far out to Andrew to be thinking that he'd still be interested in doing that. So apparently Andrew Bogut has officially announced his retirement from professional basketball. And all I can say about Andrew Bogut is this. One, he's a great guest, so we love having him on. Two, he was a great player who was worthy of that number one overall. Three, was injured and never got to show us how good he truly, truly was. And I do believe he could have been a Hall of Famer. Number four, that injury turned to serve the Golden State Warriors very, very well, because what he didn't get in terms of Hall of Fame lore or candidacy, he gave to the Warriors in terms of a rock-steady presence at the five, which they had not had until he walked in the room. Andrew Bogut, thanks for the memories. Your career was absolutely star-crossed due to injury. What might have been and what could have been were two totally different things, but a truly, really good player. He goes into the Hall of Really Good. There's no doubt about that.
Simple question. Best Australian basketball player of all time, right?
Unless Ben Simmons trumps him in some way, somehow, I think that's pretty fair. Yeah. Unless there's someone whose name I'm just... It's not Patty Mills, right? I mean, it's not Dellavedova.
It's not Andrew Gaze. No, this is it.
It's not Luke Longley.
Yeah, no, he's the best Australian player to date.
Not bad. If you can be the best ever from a continent, do that.
Yeah. Even if it used to be a penal colony.
always got to remind the Australians of that, huh, Ray?
Put them in place.
Well, you never want them to get too comfortable. In fact, it's part of their attitude.
As long as they don't escape, it's fine.
How about this? Michael Irvin is going to join us at 5 o'clock, so better late than never. Michael Irvin live at 5 here on 95.7 The Game. We're all about that. Before we get back to the NFL, we got to talk about this. And I do believe that our audience is going to want to talk about this too, because it was a spectacle. And I don't know if from the world of pugilism we want anything more than spectacles these days. No one can even tell you who the heavyweight champion of the world is. But most people saw a former NBA player get knocked out by a YouTube star, or at least the highlight of it, somewhere on social media, as Nate Robinson stepped into a ring with all the street cred a former NBA player could have and left the ring basically being uninvited to electricity for the rest of his life. He's not going to want to turn on the internet anytime soon. It's been rough on Nate Robinson since he got knocked out by a guy who does something on YouTube that I couldn't even describe to you how Nate Paul is supposed to be known, or a celebrity, or what he, excuse me, Jake Paul, Nate Robinson. I don't know what Jake Paul does.
Is he the older or the younger? Do we know the kids in the studio? You think he's the older? Yeah. All I know is there's two of them. There's a Jake and a Logan, and they're obnoxious YouTube people. That's the extent of my knowledge about them. Actually, that's not true. I know one more thing. They're better at boxing than you think, which means anyone stepping into a ring with one of the Paul brothers, you know, assuming it's not a real boxer, you're set up to fail, man, because they look like nerdy YouTube kids, but they're better boxers than that. And Nate Robinson had apparently never boxed in his life. Like, this was the outcome we should have all seen coming.
Yeah, it's appalling. I mean, it was a night basically built for massive disappointment. And I think everybody got what they deserved on it.
What do you do? Except I don't think a lot of people were disappointed, Ray. I think most people feel like they got exactly what they did. All I read was
I came in with no expectations, and they were barely satisfied. One, the Tyson-Roy Jones fight was fixed so that it would end up in a draw. Secondly, does anybody care that Jake Paul or Nate Robinson do that as a hobby or just as a lark? I mean, it's one of the things. Boxing, I give boxing credit for this. It is more shameless when it's stealing your money than any other sports dodge. Because going back to the Pacquiao fight with Mayweather.
Yeah.
Or the Mayweather-Conor McGregor fight. I mean, they tell you up front, we're stealing your money and we're not going to give you what you think you're getting. I mean, they literally rely on word of mouth from people who know better. And it works every time.
Well, what boxing now has to rely on is spectacle. Maybe it's obscene spectacle, but there is no fighter in the world that's getting pay-per-view buys like this, whatever the hell that was, just got over the last weekend. You know how people used to say the Niners are in trouble until you start seeing jerseys other than number 16 jerseys in the stands, meaning there wasn't anyone's jersey worthy enough to buy since Joe Montana? Boxing is in trouble when Mike Tyson is still the biggest sell. I mean, there's just no doubt about that. I mean, Tyson, he won that fight, by the way. He was given a draw over a clearly uncomfortable to even be there Roy Jones Jr., who did a good job, I guess, of surviving the night because Tyson was in there to fight. And he was kind of not in there to really, really fight. Tyson was. He survived, which I guess is accomplishment enough. But Tyson, as you would imagine, took the fighting seriously. And the fact it was a draw is a complete aberration of boxing, just naked eyes. I know what an ass kicking looks like, and Mike Tyson gave his opponent an ass kicking. Unfortunately, it didn't have the no doubt about ass kicking moment that Snoop Dogg so wonderfully called for all of us. Let's go to the tape.
You eventually.
Yeah, make him faint.
There you go. Faint step. Oh, there's a faint from Jake. Oh,
yeah.
Caught him. Oh, my God. Lord have mercy. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord.
Snoop, talk about dropping it like it's hot, baby.
Take
my hand. Holy God, up.
Lead me on. Let me stand.
Wow, nothing funny about what's happening with Nate Robinson, but Snoop Dogg is singing the hymns. He's trying
good
to get
night, Irene.
Oh, Lord! Mama Mia, the problem child proving to be!
Oh, Lord! Like he was a concerned grandmother watching a toddler wander out into the intersection or something. That was Snoop's call of the fight was the fight. I mean, that was... Can we just give me the Lord at the end of that? That was so good. He's singing hymnals because Nate is in there catching hands from a, what, YouTube influencer? Is that how we're billing Mr. Jake Paul?
The YouTube star? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. There's a lot of things that I've missed out on in life. The whole I'm an influencer on social media is officially one of them. I don't understand how a total rando stranger can fetch like 30 million views just because he's like running through a mall with no socks on or something. Like I don't.
But if
don't
he
understand.
Tells you he's a total rando stranger, he can't get the $30 million. He figured out the title. This is what I'm going to be called. And then convince people that somehow that's important.
Well, I think what he really did was figure out how to get literally millions upon millions of children to watch his content. And that's what all this stuff comes down to. Kids mostly, but yeah.
I rest my case.
Yeah, sure. Call them suckers if you want. But whether you're an Instagram influencer or a YouTube star, you're only able to do what you do because people want to hear what you have to say for God knows what reason. And that to me is, if there's any talent or genius to these people, it's the fact that they managed to capture something about the zeitgeist that attracts people to them.
Yeah. I mean, if just I can get attention is a marketable quality, there are some people who are clearly better at it than others or
yep.
shameless enough to not ever stop figuring out a way to make it happen. And look, I don't know anything about Jake Paul, other than he's someone from, I'll even sound older, he's somebody from the YouTube. And the guy clearly trains. Clearly.
Yes.
I mean, that yeah. guy, his footwork was on point. His body was turning. His shoulders were square. Like, he's got a trainer who puts in hours with him. And I'll say this about Nate. Nate Robinson walked into that ring more yoked up than I thought he'd be. Like, he still looked very much a former professional athlete. But I'll just say this, and this is the absolute truth. When you're talking about the dudes who are in the fight, you're never talking about the guys in the NBA.
No.
They're in a tax bracket that throws zero punches and have been there for a long time. Come on. I mean, there's just that, that NBA player is about as far away from boxer as you're going to get.
With a couple of notable exceptions like David West. But for the most part, I mean, that's been the joke in the NBA for years, right? Is every fight is hold me back.
Well, you only fight if you have to. I mean, that's just a rule of thumb in every sport. Because fighting is hard. You don't see rich guys giving up their money so they can get into the fight game, except as a promoter.
Yeah.
I mean, people who go in and box and try to make that a living, I mean, you're trading your brain for some spendable money. And that's an enormous deal to have to make with yourself. You must have so little else, you know, just tangible things, that you're saying, you know what? I will exchange a normal lifespan just so I can get through tomorrow.
It's kind of what football players say, though, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, isn't that football too, to an extent?
I think so, but I mean, you know, I'm talking specifically about balling up your fist and hitting somebody over and over again.
Yeah.
So I want to ask the audience 888-957-9570. How long will it take for Nate Robinson to get over this? That's a legitimate question, because Nate Robinson, I think, went into that situation not thinking that this was a possibility. I think he truly believed that he was going to, at worst, lose with a decision, but never get knocked out. Never have that happen to him. Nate Robinson, I've always said, it's a really, really good thing that Barry Zito won that game against the St. Louis Cardinals. Because had he not done that, he would have never been allowed to go to brunch in Tiburon for the rest of his life. But because of that one game, he can go to brunch in Tiburon. When can Nate Robinson go to brunch in Tiburon? Ever again. I don't know if he gets to ever go to brunch in Tiburon. Ever.
See, I think he's fine in Tiburon. He's going to have some trouble in Oakland.
No, I mean, you know what I mean. Don't get stuck on Tiburon. Right. No, but seriously.
But no, that's tough. How do you show your face in public when your face has been handled like that by Logan Paul?
Look,
or
I
Jake
mean,
Paul, whichever.
I'm not here to speak for the community. I get that. I understand that. This is three white people on the radio together. But I did see the reaction of my black brothers and sisters. And let me just say, it doesn't look like Nate is going to be invited anytime soon to come hang out at the cool kids table.
He'll be invited to fight again.
Oof.
That's how confident I am in boxing's ability to recycle the unthinkable.
Who, though? Who? And
Screech?
What invite would he accept at this point? I mean, if you get absolutely
if you
embarrassed
need the, if you want
Jake
the money,
Paul,
if, yeah, I mean, if you want the money bad enough, you'll fight a bear.
Yeah, I
guess. I mean, when you're going to be on a card like that, you have basically left your pride at the door.
I believe they each got paid $600,000 for this thing.
Wow.
$600,000 isn't nearly enough money to have the entire.
Wait, what? Hold on. Nash just said $600 in my ears.
The purse that was disclosed was $600 for each of them. $600.
They had to be missing a K,
no,
right?
The person who put that tweet out said, I missed the K. That no one's doing anything for. I'm not hosting this show for $600. Come on. What are you, crazy? No way. No way. No, $600,000 each they walked away with. But that is a small pittance to give away your entire, I'm a professional athlete, cool. I mean, you must really need the money, right? I mean, how much money did he make in his career?
Way too much to be doing this, that's for sure.
Exactly. For $600,000 to be completely.
A lot of guys go through money fast.
So. Yeah, and there's no doubt.
That's true. Nate Robinson.
Over 24 million.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kolsky.
Unbelievable.
You can burn through that if you don't know what you're doing.
Well, sure, it's because 24 goes down to 12 real fast. You buy the right house, you get divorced, boom, 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 boom. It gets halved, it gets halved, it gets halved, it gets halved. You got an agent taking 12% right off the top, maybe 10, maybe 8, who knows. But, yeah, it can all go fast. We all saw that broke, we get it. But, man, to serve up the entirety of your athletic reputation for $600,000 to be knocked out by the king of the white boys, that's got to be bad for Nate Robinson business, right?
Or was he so confident he actually thought he was going to win? It's hard to understand the mental machinations that went into this decision, that's for sure.
Who put him in that position? Other than himself, obviously.
Good
Who
question.
Said to him, Nate, this is a really good idea. This is going to be like somebody went up to Steph Curry recently and said, Steph, you know, Under Armour is not doing very well. So what Under Armour would like you to do is kind of peel away from the Under Armour brand, and we're going to give you your own logo. And that just happened. Steph is like Jordan now. The Curry brand is about to be launched. It's still an Under Armour product, but Under Armour has so lost its place in the apparel hierarchy that being associated with them isn't good for business anymore. So they're just giving Curry his own brand, his own logo. It looks like the three, is the three that he puts up. It looks like a little bit like an okay. So there you go.
I love that, by the way, and it's something that I would say Steph Curry deserves no matter what's going on with Under Armour.
No, yeah, it's the good thing for him no matter what, but
yeah,
it's really good.
No,
when business
right.
over here is not going very well. Like, Steph is getting great advice. Nate,
not so much.
Nate Robinson, not so much, exactly. Carlos in Concord, how long will it be before Nate can show his head again?
Hey, guys, how's it going? So I had to call on this one. It was too good to pass up on. But what I will say is he's not going to be able to show his face in Oakland for sure. I forget who said that, but
Kolsky knew that Oakland would be rough on him.
Yeah, it's not going to work. He goes to Oakland, man. Oh, man, I can only imagine that. But what I will say, I'm not sure if you guys touched on yet, there was a whole bunch of footage, training footage from Jake Paul that I wasn't even sure if it was surfaced or not before the fight. I did see it after the fight. It kind of started blowing up on my Instagram. But, man, he looked like a professional middleweight, light heavyweight. I'm not even sure what he would classify as, because he looked so much bigger than Nate. That alone should have been a little bit more evaluated in the decision-making process. Like, hey, this guy's huge compared to you, Nate. I understand there might have been some maybe ex-NBA athlete. You know, he had all that confidence about him. But the guy is big, you know, in comparison to Nate. That you have to respect that in boxing, especially if the guy at least knows how to throw a punch or two. That probably was, you know, they're looking at that now like they screwed up, but definitely he's not going to be able to show his face for a while around the Bay Area and around anywhere, really. Enough people did see that. So, but I just will say, I really do wonder if Nate did get to see any of that training footage, because I didn't really see anything leading up to the fight, but afterwards it was released and he looked like he was pro level. Of course, it's training and you're just hitting pads, but it was enough to kind of maybe change your decision if you're Nate. But that's all I wanted to say, guys.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the call, Carlos. Do we know, is Nate all right? I mean, he got knocked up Debo. You got knocked out. I mean, he was stiff-armed level, knocked out, laying face first on the canvas. Again, I believe Snoop Dogg called it better than anyone else.
This is like two of my uncles fighting at the barbecue. get your uncle out of there. Get him out. You go meet me in the backyard. I'm tired of this. Come on.
No, that was the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. portion of the commentary. He went full-on hymnal for our good friend Nate Robinson. Let's go back to the full. Give me the full cut, too, because it's that good. There was a cut. There was a punch that staggered. You got Snoop going full-on wake Bible service, and then comes the Allah. Here we go.
You eventually.
Yeah, make him faint.
There you go. Faint, step. Oh, there's a faint from Jake.
Oh,
caught him.
Oh, my God.
Down.
Lord have mercy.
Robinson.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, that's Lord. Great.
Snoop, talk about dropping it like it's hot. Oh,
take my hand.
Holy God, up.
Lead me on. Let me stand.
Wow, nothing funny about what's happening with Nate Robinson, but Snoop Dogg is singing the hymns. He's trying
good
to get
to the
oh, Lord. Mama mia, the problem child proving to be.
Oh, Lord.
Did you hear he slipped in a good night, Irene, in there, too?
I think that might have been Roy Jones saying good night, Irene, right before the punch. But I think there's a lot of incredible stuff going on there, not the least of which is Jim Gray trying to sneak in a Snoop Dogg pun. Is that what I heard? Did I hear Jim Gray go, hey, Snoop, talk about dropping it like it's hot?
Oh, my God. Oh, let's hope.
Amazing.
Your ear picked up something mine hasn't even heard yet. I don't know if we need to go back to it right now to confirm nor deny that. But, yeah, that'd be a terrible line if that
Nash, find that. I'm pretty sure it's Jim Gray's voice. It's right in the middle of the clip. I believe we can isolate it.
Trey from the East Bay. Trey, you're on 95.7 The Game. What do you got? Oh, no, Trey's gone. Ray, what do you got?
When Jim Gray's associated with an event, that is an automatic tip-off that what you're about to see is not worth the energy your eyeballs are being put through.
That didn't used to be true either, but like sometimes no, but I think the decision go back to, turned it for him.
Yeah, and I it might have been even pre-decision, but because by the time of the decision, he was already sort of a, ew. And now he's just full on. He's a wrestling announcer. I mean, he's Jim Ross.
Super Bowl, Arizona. I'm there with former producer John Goulet. We go to the W Hotel because we heard that's where the party is. We heard there's a sushi bar at the W Hotel in Scottsdale that we got to eat at. So we put our names in, and of course, it's Super Bowl week. So it's a 2-hour wait. We finally get brought to our table. Sitting at the table paying the bill was Jim Gray and his lovely wife,
assistant?
Niece, who knows? Yeah, who knows? But Jim Gray was there with his date. I introduced myself, and I got to tell you, Jim Gray was absolutely 100% pleasant and very nice, and the exchange of the table was a very courteous, very nice moment. Because the check presenter was still on the table, I had to check. I had to see what kind of tipper was Jim Gray. That's where the compliments end, everyone.
Oh, no.
Oh, there's one thing I cannot tolerate in life, and that's a bad tipper. Forget about the announcement with LeBron. Forget about Jim Gray trying to get Pete Rose to admitting to gambling right there on the field at the All-Star game that one year. Bad tipping has got Jim Gray on my you-know-what list more than any
Can't
other act of broadcasting. You should have a license. You should have to get a license to go out and eat in a restaurant, especially if you're proven a bad tipper.
Well, not only a bad tipper. What it is you're basically saying, I'm here to be seen. It was a privilege for you to wait on me. You should be tipping me. That's how insulting that is. And
yeah,
It surprises me in exactly zero ways, but it offends me in every way I have.
Before we break quickly, can we hear the audio, Nash?
Snoop, talk about dropping it like it's hot.
Was that not Jim Gray?
That doesn't sound like Jim Gray. Jim Gray was doing ringside. I believe it's Mauro Ranallo, WWE announcer.
Snoop, talk about dropping it like it's hot.
It's a good L.A. Confidential reference, everyone. Rollo Tomasi. Anyways, 888-957-9570. A few more of your calls. When is Nate Robinson going to be invited back to the barbecue? Plus Michael Irvin live at 5 here on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises. Our Exergen temperature check says it is still sunny and 63 degrees up in Napa.
Hi.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Do you know the way to Glendale, Arizona? I know, do you know the way to San Jose is what you might sing on the way down to a Niner game. trying to find Levi Stadium, wherever they put that. Now you got to go all the way to Glendale to find the 49ers at home the next time they play, which will be Monday night, which will have three Monday night games. There's going to be a Wednesday game. There is craziness because of COVID all around this league, and we're going to talk to Michael Irvin about everything that's happening on the field, off the field, finding out that you're going to be home or away from home for the next 3 weeks leading up to Christmas. Can't have been news that Kyle Shanahan wanted to break to his team in any way, shape, or form. I don't know if any of this makes Santa Clara a safer place. The Niners, I do not believe, have just been made a safer team in any way, shape, or form by the decision to ask them to shut down any and all activities around Santa Clara County for the next 3 weeks. It's not just the Niners. It's all contact sports at all level of sports as we re-embrace taking COVID seriously during these times. It is interesting times, to say the least. So interesting. We have NBA players getting knocked out by YouTube stars, getting called by rappers on the call. We got bad tipping evidence from Jim Gray. There's an awful lot of stuff going on here right now, and we're about to get back to the phones before Michael Irvin joins us live at 5. Yes,
I also think we got to start recognizing it's not just the 3 weeks. Because based on that order, they're not going to be able to come back after those two games and practice here if they're then going to fly to Dallas and then come back. And like, I think we probably should start to consider, if not accept, the idea that the Niners will not be back in California this season.
No, they're the Washington Generals now. That's how this works.
By the way, I know how it ends for the Washington Generals. It's never good.
It's not great.
It's never good, Ray. 888-957-9570. Ange in Oakland. He'll tell us when Nate Robinson's back allowed at the barbecue. He would know. What's going on, Ange?
How you doing, man?
Doing very well.
I just got finished having a session with them DLGs I was telling y'all about. Those bowels loosening grains. You know what I'm talking about?
But yes. Yeah, I'm very glad that you had a lovely afternoon. That's wonderful. When is Nate going to be allowed back in the room?
Man, let me tell you something, Dave. That's the best thing. That did my heart good. That's the best thing that's happened to me in a long time. I've been feeling the blues, man, with the COVID and different stuff. Man, just because you can eat, that don't mean that you should eat a lot. And that's just to say, you might can dribble the ball, you might can run fast and stuff like that, but people that do stuff for a living every day, what they do, or those that train for it, they best to stick with it. A part of me, it's funny, a part of me felt sorry for Nate, because he can't go to no basketball court in the world and say nothing to nobody about what you going to do, because they're going to be like, what you going to do? The boy did the worm when he hit the ground. When he fell, his body literally hit the ground and did the worm. I flashed back. I was like, is he dancing or he's asleep? And the commentary that went with it, it couldn't have been better. Snoop.
Oh, Lord.
Good Lord. That's what I was saying. It's like, get the baby. Somebody get the baby out the street. I feel bad for Nate, man. But shit, I get knocked out for.
Ange, thank you.
Oh,
thank
no.
you. Thank you very, very much. Cruiser. Man. San Jose. Cruiser, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Yes, I know the way to San Jose. You know what? Nate Robinson, man, he's got to go underground for a solid 9 months at least. And you know the training montages in like the Rocky movies? He needs to do that for a solid nine. And the only way he gets any respect back is if he has a rematch. And, you know, even if he doesn't win, he's got to show up and he's got to really like show that he took that 9 months seriously. But Damon, on another note, I have a really bad tipper story for you. I used to work at a restaurant back in the late 90s in McCarthy Ranch, and Ken Norton Jr., man, he came up and he ran up like a $70, $80 drink tab, and he left me like $2. So, yeah, they're out there. They're all out and about. So that's all I'm going to say on that. Hey, fellas, have a good weekend.
Thank you very much. God, I was just reading a story about how LeBron got styled out at some Toronto hotspot, and it was paid like $60,000 for the appearance, and demanded that, you know, he basically left no tips because he considered himself an employee that night. I did not have LeBron pegged as bad tipper. I did not. I really didn't.
That feels like somebody did something that he found underhanded. Because I don't think he is a bad tipper historically. I mean, I've seen evidence that he's one of those guys who orders a $300 meal and leaves $300. So I have a feeling they must have crossed him somehow. That said, that's one you have to eat. You should never screw the wait staff.
No.
You want to screw the restaurant owner, go ahead.
But not the wait staff. You're right about that. What's the worst bad tipping story you've heard of, Ray, from all your days?
Oh, my sister used to be a wait person a long, long time ago. And, you know, there was the standard, you know, pennies in the ashtray. I mean, I've heard, you know, tons of stories of athletes who didn't tip. But in most cases, when I looked into them, it was people who didn't know how to tip because they hadn't been taught how to tip.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that the Ken Norton story, I mean, that's inexcusable because you know that 2.5% is not an acceptable thing unless you've somehow run out of money. I mean, I suppose that's possible, but, you know, then don't spend $80 on liquor because that's.
Yeah, and don't be in a restaurant
and
don't
buy the last 10 drink. Drinks. Right. Just skip the last drink and leave it as a tip if it's the case. But I think Ray's right that for some of these guys, like I know with Scottie Pippen, he had the whole no tip and Pippen thing going on. And it was really because he was a kid from Arkansas who didn't know any better. And I'm pretty sure Scottie Pippen's tipping just fine now. So, you know, sometimes we're too hard on guys, I think. But when it's someone like Jim Gray at, you know, 50, it's a little right. different.
And it's also, you know, too, let's just be honest. Scotty's name served the stereotype well. No tipping,
sure
Pippin. This is something that your son's going to have to leave at least 15% to 20% at all times. No tipping, Griffin. That could happen. That could happen quickly.
Oh, no.
That could happen.
Tell him.
But round that up to 25%. No matter what you're doing, son, it'll stay with you and haunt you for life.
That's right.
We've got 5 minutes away from saying hello to Michael Irvin to talk about a 49ers game, which I got to tell you, it was the most pleasant surprise sporting event I've had on my TV in a while. I knew that they were going to get more than a puncher's chance back with just Mostert and Sherman. It wasn't Deebo Samuel's impact that I really thought would carry the afternoon. Deebo Samuel has closed the book on me saying, I need to see more of it in order to believe that's who he is. That's what I left him there at the end of last season thinking, very intriguing prospect. Let's see more. Through this season, we've seen so little of him, I did not want to come off that position. I'm happy to come off that position right now. My naked eyes are telling me this guy is just a different human being out there, and he plays differently and runs differently. And we're going to talk to Michael Irvin about how difficult it is to play with a level of violence at a position where you need finesse on your speed. But he really does play with a level of violence that speaks to running back, fullback, linebacker, safety more than it does wide receiver. He is a bad, bad man. There is no way Deebo Samuel's getting knocked out by Logan Paul or Luke Paul or Chris Paul, whatever that guy's name was.
Yes, there is. Of course there is. Because the one lesson here is that if you've trained to box for a long time, you have boxing skills. Now, if Deebo Samuel wanted to spend a year training to be a boxer, I don't like Jake Paul's chances. But, you know, don't go into the ring cold with anybody. That said, he would get his shots in.
Yeah, I don't. I think that's far besides the point as well. Given that I don't think Deebo Samuel has any plans to be seeking his relevance in the boxing ring anytime soon. His relevance is on the football field. And to your point, Damon, the only question is, can he stay on it? When he has been on the field, he's been the same guy. He's been physical. He's been tough. He's been almost unstoppable on those jet sweeps. It's a tremendous thing to watch, and the only question is, at that size, playing with that physicality, can he stay on the field for, yeah, you know, 14-plus games a year?
Look at it this way. Aaron Donald can't pretend he doesn't know his name anymore.
Seriously.
Not going to
be allowed
to do
that. That was ridiculous in the first place.
Yeah. Well, you know, he had reached the position in life where he could be the, well, you know, flashes in the pans who've had one or two good games really haven't hit my radar. But after that game, where Deebo Samuel just handed it to you over and over again with a backup quarterback and very other receiving, you know, little receiving targets around him, although Richie James flashes. I want more reps. I want more from Richie James out there. I really, really do. All things considered, the 49ers went above and beyond any expectation, and they have now swept the Rams for the second year in a row. Kyle Shanahan says that he's really, really impressed because the last 14 days have just been defined by uncertainty, who's in, who's out, who can play, who can't, and look what they did in L.A.
What our team went through here in these last really 2 weeks, our week off with how COVID hit us in our week off, and then yesterday, just the stuff that they found out in a very awkward spot for us, and just I can't be more proud of our team. I mean, what they've gone through all year, but especially these last 2 weeks and especially these last 24 hours. I did have a lot of concern because of some of the stuff all of us and our families have been dealing with, and I can't tell you how proud I am of those guys, how they went out there and fought, and not all of it was perfect, but their heart and energy and everything was, and I couldn't ask for any more from those guys.
I'll tell you, with the compliments that he's just extended to his players, his teams, his coaches, he's going to have to extend that deep into the organization. Somebody has to pack up the entire 49ers headquarters and move it to Glendale. I mean, are they going to be allowed to share practice equipment are they going to have to bring their own tackling dummies? Are they going to have to bring their own seven-man sleds? Not that you got NFL teams out there hitting seven-man sleds anymore, but you know what I'm saying here. Are they allowed to have any cross-contamination with the Cardinals as they go to the practice field? Can they even practice at the same facility? I mean, there's just a million questions, and somebody has got to figure that all out with the 49ers. We have figured out how to connect with Michael Irvin, and we do that here live as we welcome you to 5 o'clock.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
So much to get into with one of our favorite conversations of the week. Mr. Michael Irvin, the Hall of Famer, the playmaker, joins us on 95.7 The Game. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, we're all back this week. Michael, it's great to have you back this week. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well, guys. Got through Thanksgiving. It was nice. I had a lot of family here. And, you know, when you're the 15th or 17th and a lot of family comes in and they don't get to see you that much because I'm always traveling, I always get these, hey, can I talk to you? Can I talk to you for a minute? You know, can I talk to you over here for a minute? That's can I get you in the back? Because I need to ask you about borrowing some money. I had about 10 of those.
Oh, that's...
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's a busy holiday. The consigliere roll and the bank roll coming out of Michael Irvin during the holiday season. Michael Irvin is brought to us by Audie Marin and VW Marin here on 95.7 The Game. I'm so sorry that you got shook down like you're an ATM machine. We're not going to ask you for anything other than some real good NFL advice and observations. And we want to start with Deebo Samuel. Michael, this guy came back from injury, from COVID concerns, whatever had him out. He was out long enough to where you kind of forget about him. He steps on back on the field, and I'll tell you, I've been saying this all day. He plays the position with violence, and you don't get a lot of violent wide receivers, but he seems to be one.
I mean, he runs so strong. That's how they... You know, the guys talk about it in the games. I mean, he's just such a strong runner, and he is. I mean, just a strong runner. But I thought it's almost like, you know, he's been sitting back, injured, and listening to everybody talk about all these other young receivers. You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, you guys are forgetting about me. And that game was his, hey, don't y'all forget about me. I'm over here, too. You know, we're talking about DK Metcalf, the A.J. Browns and everybody, and not giving enough credit to Deebo Samuel. I mean, he had a phenomenal, phenomenal game. And it was a tough game. Well, that one time he caught the little short pass. I mean, ran over a guy like, just just get out the way. So yeah, you're right. We need to give him more credit for the game he's playing.
And the physicality is awesome to watch.
That was a great win, guys. That was a great win. I must admit that I took the Rams. I didn't think that they could sweep the Rams. I said, but now Cal always has a great game plan for McVay. It's almost like he just figures, I got you in my back pocket, buddy. You can always be mine. You know what I'm saying? He will always be mine. But I thought that was a great win for the 49ers.
I just want to dig in quickly on Debo before we move too far past that. The physicality is incredible. It makes him special, I think. But also, he seems about as versatile as any receiver in the league, and Shanahan deploys him in all these different ways. Is there something specific about his skill set that makes that a possibility? Or?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.